Hey, folks. Thanks for tuning in once again to the BAMF podcast. I'm your host, Mike Lafferty. And with me today is RPG freelancer and Stark City contributor, John Post. How you doing, John?
Good. How are you?
I am super awesome. Thank you. And John's here today to talk about Stark City. So, John, your specific neighborhood you're focusing on is Tesla Industrial Park.
Yes.
Could you tell us a little bit about that?
So, Stark City has a booming technological industry. You know, some of it's pseudo-realistic, another of it is more along the typical comic book line with, you know, powered armor, flight suits, teleportation devices, and, you know, things that you'd see in Reed Richards or Tony Stark's labs. And Stark City's no different. So Tesla Industrial Park is essentially, or industrial, yeah, is a place where you would encounter most of those people doing that kind of research and the companies responsible for it.
Okay, so that's where your Reed Richards, your Hank Pyms, your Tony Starks hang out.
Exactly.
Okay.
So the challenge is to create a setting there that people recognize the common tropes, but isn't cliche. So I don't have a Tony Stark. I don't have a Reed Richards, really, or even a Henry Pym. I'm trying to do things that people will be able to use. You know, anyone can file off the serial numbers and give you, you know, a Tony Stark or a Reed Richards, but I'm trying to have the NPCs be a little bit different so that people will get something that they didn't expect or might be more interesting than your Tony Stark.
Okay. Can you give us an example?
Yeah, the first one, the one that comes to mind is one that I've been working on with Walt, and it is, his name is Mr. Mayhem, is his former villainous name. So he's a reformed villain, super genius, as are most of the NPCs in the Tesla Industrial Park. So we're not straying too far from the theme on that. But so he grew up in the projects and started on a life of crime, broke into one of the high-tech industrial centers, Ares Lab, that's in Stark City, and stole some technology and used his super geniusness to create a battle suit out of it, and became a criminal mastermind slash drug lord in Stark City, but got caught and had a change of heart and is now a upstanding citizen who does his best to give back to the community and help people who may have strayed down the criminal path.
Okay, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, just one example of not, not something I'm familiar with that is in any of the current comics as far as, you know, your prototypical super genius.
Yeah, I haven't seen the reformed supervillain all that much, at least not in the big two. I mean, I guess Mark Waid was writing that in, who was... Irredeemable was the Superman analog who went bad, and Incorruptible was kind of his nemesis who had gone good at the same time.
Right.
But, well, cool. That is a nifty trope, and that's Mr. Mayhem, a.k.a. Reginald Coakley.
Yes.
And he runs an optics company, right?
That's right. He runs Maniacal Incorporated, which is an optics company that Walt and I have been discussing, and Walt did most of the write-up of it, which we're trying to show not just the comic book cutting-edge stuff, but things that are near-future, real-world. So one of the things that Google is working on is their glasses, and I'm drawing a blank on their name. But it, essentially, it gives you a heads-up display through clear glasses, and when it works at some point in the future, or I say when, but if it works at some point in the future, the idea is that you'll be able to look at a restaurant and using your Google, you know, whatever your smart device, your link to the internet and Google, you'll be able to see what the menu is at the restaurant, the price, number of dollar signs, number of noise bells, reviews, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So we're taking it the next step and saying that, you know, what would this technology look like 20 years from now, and we're putting it in the present day. So the maniacal has these glasses that if you have a smart device, then you can look at someone. Say you're walking down the street and you look at someone, you hit your criminal database app, and then runs their profile through the relevant databases, and you can see if that person's wanted for a crime or not, something like that.
Oh, cool. Yeah, I'm Googling that right now. It looks like those are just called Google Glass. And just like you described it.
Yeah, that makes sense. Google just puts Google in front of everything.
Yeah, that's kind of... My girlfriend actually works there now. You know they have free liquor in Google offices?
I did not know that. I know they have free food, but I didn't know they had free liquor.
Well, maybe it's just the outpost offices here in Colorado, far from the headquarters in Cali. But yeah, when she started her job there, she had to do shots of snake wine, which is some horrible grain alcohol that has a dead cobra in the bottle. But I want to work at Google so bad now. But yeah, you have to actually be good at your job, apparently, get in there. That's why she's there and I'm not. But yeah, all right, cool. So high technology, Mr. Mayhem. And we're actually trying to get that into a preview for Stark City that might come out after the Kickstarter ends, just because I know Dan's still working on the art.
Yeah, I've seen the inks of it. Looks good. I don't know how he's working on the coloring.
Yeah. Now, Dan is the hardest working man in RPGs, which is a nice way of saying he's generally overcommitted. So it'll hopefully we'll get that. And then the Kickstarter is actually ending in 3 days. Holy shit. So that's... we've had a pretty good run, but it's coming to the end. We're about 120% funded right now, but still time to jump on if anybody wants to get on the bandwagon.
We need about $150 more to hit our third stretch goal.
I think it's like 127.
127, okay.
Yeah, so far we've hit two stretch goals, which means there will be two short Stark City adventures produced that all the backers will get for free, along with the other rewards. And if we get just 100, and I think 125, 127 more, we'll do a third one. So it's a better deal for backers, and you still got time to jump on and be a part of it. So wave the flag a little bit, and if you are a backer, feel free to spread the word. Tell your mom, tell your friends, tell your mom's friends, tell your friends' moms. It's a great deal, and there's some time to get on board there. So hey, what else can we talk about? Tesla.
Well, there are a couple of other, I'm drawing a blank on the names, sadly. A couple of other companies in there that are a little different than what you would normally expect.
This is Valkyrie International.
I was thinking, yeah, Valkyrie International is one that is coming off of also another thing that I'm doing in collaboration with Walt, where it's based off of his character, the Cowl, which was, I believe, number... three in the Justice Wheels?
Sounds about right, yeah.
Definitely the single digit. So you got a taste of that. We're expanding it for the Stark Cities, background. Try not to, if we have characters that are in other products, not to reproduce them in Stark City so people aren't paying for the same thing twice. But instead, pointing to the other product and expanding upon it. One of the things, there's a also a company, Impossible Technology Inc., that's touched upon in the next Improbable Tales, or the one after that, The Extraordinary Journey. That will.
I think that's the one after the next one, most recent one, depending on how it goes down. But yeah, that sounds about right.
So what I was going to say initially was that going along with people, things that you wouldn't expect necessarily, Nick's technology is, for all outward appearances, is a normal technology company, except that they're focused on teleportation devices. And their dirty secret is that they're actually trying to use magic technology to copy magic as their basis, but they don't want their backers to know that because everyone thinks that, magic is much more fickle and it doesn't have anything to do with technology. But, an example of something that you don't see in the comics as often as you might expect.
Oh, cool, cool. Sounds like maybe some villain hooks there.
One of the goals in Tesla is to have, like any comic book, you're going to have a a couple of companies that are led by upstanding, righteous superheroes in disguise. You're Bruce Wayne's and Tony Stark's of the world, and a couple that aren't. You're Lex Luthor's of the world. So, and then some people in the middle. So we're trying to have a mix of heroic companies and villainous companies, so characters that don't just have potential allies, but also potential villain hooks use in their Icons campaigns.
Ah, cool. So what's I'm looking over the manuscript I got from you, and the best thing about this podcast, folks, is you get to hear the production process while it happens. So lots of it's being made right here, baby. What is the Phoenix Team, or Team Phoenix?
The Phoenix Team is a organization set up by Mr. Mayhem, Reginald Coakley, the reformed villain we discussed earlier, who his idea is essentially to create a strike force team of reformed villains. As part of their parole, they are implanted with a sort of the chip that blows your head up from the, I can't remember the name of the super of the fantasy movie that was in, the science fiction movie that was in, but
it's kind of Suicide Squad, isn't it?
Yeah, it's like Suicide Squad, exactly. But there's a science fiction movie that did it too. I kind of blank.
Did have Rutger Hauer in it?
Could be.
Yeah. Okay. Sorry. Go ahead.
And so his idea is he arms the people with the cutting edge technology. And they're led by a government operative, and sort of they travel under the guise of being this outreach program for at-risk youth, but in reality, they're working out their parole and limiting their sentences by essentially volunteering with some coercion to hunt down villains and be shock troops for the federal government.
Oh, okay, cool. That's got shades of Marvel Civil War there and Thunderbolts, too. That's cool. Okay. So that'd be interesting to see. How are you guys picturing that being used in the game? As an adventure hook or as player characters, or what are you thinking?
It could be either a character who has a background started out there. Because most of the villains aren't going to have powers. They're just, most of the criminals who are in the Phoenix aren't going to have power. So if you have a superpower trained individual, you could have a background that you started there, have connections with the handler, with the government through that aspect, or it could just be a hook where they encounter something that they can't handle, and then they call in the big guns, the Sentinels.
Oh, cool. Oh, hey, I think that movie you're talking about was Wedlock with Rutger Hauer in 1991.
You were right. You called it Rutger Hauer.
Yeah. Google, nothing it can't find. So. Beautiful. Okay, well, hey, we don't want to give away the whole shop. Sounds like we've gotten a good teaser of Tesla Industrial Park. Anything else we want to mention before we wrap it up?
Nothing springs to mind. There are still a couple of slots open, Away the Fly Again, for if you want to have your character featured prominently in the Stark City Settings books, and we've got a slot opening in Tesla. If you want your character to be one of the titans of industry, we have a couple of companies where he could fit in there, he or she could fit in there.
Absolutely. So go to Kickstarter and just search for Stark City. We'll be the only one that comes up. And if you want to get on it, there's still plenty of time. And some of the backer rewards John's alluding to is you can. Certain levels, you can have your character become a sample PC, a minor PC, a major PC, and you can still become a big wheel in some of these neighborhoods like Stark City or the Catacombs, etc. So, just letting you know that's still out there. So, well, hey, John, thanks for your time. Anything else we want to cover?
I think that's about it. I know that Steve Perrin, Walt Rubiard, and I think Abe Smith and I are going to be doing a real play tomorrow that will be knock on wood, podcast sometime in the near future.
Yeah, that would be great. Please, I know Rob's recording that, so Walt, Why am I calling him Rob? I know Walt's recording that, so hopefully we can get that on the air. That'd be great.
Yeah, we did a dry run, an unintentional dry run the first time, but we did not record it correctly, so we're going to try it again.
Yeah, podcasting's not as easy as I make it look. So, all right, well, hey, thanks for your time, and until next time, folks, make mine BAMF.